special thanks to Pastor Joey. I think he's in here somewhere, but thank you so much for what you said last week and shared. He did encourage me, however, to do my slides a little better, and so hopefully you see a slight improvement. So thanks to that, because I got some messages that said, you know, Pastor Joey's slides. I'm like, yeah, I know. Anyway, so I've tried to do better. So thanks for that, Pastor Joey. But thank you for that word. That was a tremendous word and a great, great challenge for us. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would grab those, and I'm going to have you turn to Acts. And while I'm having you turn there, you're getting to Acts, you know what I mean, a great place in the Word of God, just as the Philadelphia Eagles are in a great place right now at 8-0. You know what I mean? Acts is a great, great word, and so is the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Come on now, you better. I just have to say it because it's the first time in franchise history that they are 8-0 ever, right? So that you have to say something, right? Yeah. I mean, if it were the Colts, we wouldn't mention it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's, I'm just kidding, so. But pretty exciting. I know my family's pretty excited back east, and so I'm pretty excited too. Well, I'm going to have you hold off there. We're going to be in Acts chapter 16, kind of around verse 18, 19, 20, 21. Many of you are very familiar with that passage. Honey, we're not there yet. Are you moving the slides? Girl. There we go. That's me. But anyway, I'm just kidding. That's me like 20 years ago. Anyway, 20 years ago, 50 pounds ago. You know what I mean? That's just, are you all awake? Are you with me? Hello? Is it too cloudy? I mean, what is it? Anyway, I want to talk to you about something before we get to that. And I want you to kind of just get your minds and your hearts kind of set up for this season. And obviously, we're heading into a season to celebrate those things that we're thankful for. As a nation, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Kind of remembering of just being able to come into freedom, and so all of that. But I really want us to get to a place as Christians where we understand what it means to live in a state of being grateful for that which Christ has done for us. And so kind of a simple message, but I want to throw a couple things out first. Now we can go to that slide. Did you know, I'm going to give you a news flash. You ready for a news flash? I know you all love the news. It's so encouraging. So anyway, opposite of K-love, encouraging. What is the word, Kay? Yeah. Positive, encouraging Kayla. That's what I am today. Anyway, I want to give you a news flash. When your baby comes out, so when, let's just use someone else other than Janae because she's in here. When Charlotte came out, she didn't pop out. This would have been fun though, right? And lift her head and say, thanks, mom and dad. That'd be creepy, right? You know, your baby pop out, catch it, lift its head and say, thanks, mom and dad, for having me and bringing me to life. You know, it just doesn't happen. If it did, it'd be weird, right? And you'd have a pretty smart kid. But here's the thing. There's something about children, right? And as a parent, I'm learning this, that they don't pop out thankful. Now, it'd be nice if they did, right? But they don't pop out and just begin to be a people that are thankful. Unfortunately, okay, we have what's called original sin. And so usually some of the first things that we see vocalized are things like no, things like screams, things like, and I mean, it's cute for the first 2 years, and then when they learn to say no, it's like, wait a minute, they're not as cute as they were like 2 weeks ago. But here's what I want you to know. A heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude, right, it doesn't just happen. It's learned. It's, in a sense, conditioned. We're constantly saying to our kids, hey, don't forget, say thank you. And don't just say thank you, but like really mean it. Be thankful. We're having a lot of conversations in our home and trying to help our kids understand that lots of what we see and experience day in and day out isn't their reality. And so when they complain about something, we often say, hey, I want you to think about this from a different perspective so that you can think about it maybe in a little bit more of a grateful way. Because what you get to experience in our home is not what every home that's surrounded by you is getting to experience. My girls don't really know it yet, but they're pretty blessed. From the things they have, to the love they have, to the property they have, I mean, the list goes on. But see, it's also about hearts in the home that live out a grateful existence. See, oftentimes thankfulness is learned, not just encouraged. See, if all you do with your kids is say, hey, make sure and say thanks when you're, hey, make sure and They also need to see it lived out. They need to see it spoken. They need to see it shared with others. Because, see, it'll be learned, and it'll be learned through words and actions of those that are around them. So I'm doing two things before we get to the message today. I want you to think of the word indebted. You all like being in debt? No, right? Okay. I'm going to say this again. You can argue with me later. Is that okay? Some of it is true. Okay. Not everything I say here is true. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But oftentimes when I get a gift, let's just say it like that, and I open up the gift, I already know what my wife is thinking. You know what she's thinking? I hope it's cash. You know why? Because she doesn't like debt, and she always says to me, or she used to say to me, not anymore because we've gotten past it. But anyway, I'll get a gift. I open it up, and I always want a gift card. You know why? Because it's mine. Because that's not being thankful. That's like, hey, that's mine. I'm going to use it. Half the time, though, I used it, didn't I? That's like complimenting myself. I bought a gift from a gift card that I got for me, for you, for your birthday. Y'all should say, good job, Joe. Say thank you, Caleb. One person. I mean, my goodness, I could have used that for myself. I saw some socks and everything, and I resisted it all, except I did buy one pair of socks. Huh? I did buy the shh. Don't be letting stuff out. Anyway, and she gets excited when I open it up in cash, and she puts her hand out. And I say, honey, this is my gift. And she's like, the government, you know what I'm saying? Because I still have student loans. And she says, that money should go to the government to pay my student loans off. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not really government, but to whoever, you know, AES, American Education Solutions. Anybody have that too? You don't have student loan debt? Gosh. Huh? Oh, gosh. Well, don't get it. Anyway, because it sticks with you. It's kind of like a bad relationship. You just don't forget it. And it comes every month, and it just... So anyway, I'm just kidding. She used to do that, but not anymore. She knows, like, we have other priorities, so we just keep paying it faithfully. But we don't like to be in debt. And so when I say what I'm going to say today, it's going to sound confusing, because most of us are trying to be on a path to get away from debt, to get away from the strings, to get away from those things that kind of keep us attached to people and entities that we don't want to be attached to. But this is kind of a different kind of indebtedness. See, when we understand the lengths that Jesus went to restore us, the lengths that he went to bring us back to a state of being whole, the lengths that he went to say, hey, this isn't for you. I believe that when we understand the lengths that Jesus went to, we would understand why we should live in a state of being indebted. Isn't he cute? It's the only male in my home. Anyway, and it kind of goes with the scripture, so whenever I can use him, because they say he's going to weigh like a lot more than that right now. That's him on our couch. But if you have your Bibles, you don't have to go there. This is just scripture, just kind of set this up. And that is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear. See, I love this, and I want you to understand this scripture. All throughout the New Testament, okay, what's great about the New Testament that's different than the Old Testament, oftentimes the Old Testament would do this. All of us would be held accountable, right, as one. So if you did wrong, then we all did wrong. If you and you did right and they did wrong, we would still be. In the New Testament, the scripture changes, and guess what it says? It says things like, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds. So thankfully, even though I feel like we do bear weight for one another, we do affect one another, but when it comes down to it, Jesus is going to look right at you. Look right at you. Look right at you. And say, Abby, it's time for you and me. Goes on to say, yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. But that doesn't work, because that lamb wouldn't work. But anyway, it's just to give you an idea of it. So right there is a reminder that as Christians, as a people that understand who we are and understand where we came from, we should always be in a state of being indebted to Christ. Not in the way that I'm indebted to my student loans, not in a way that many of us are indebted to house loans and car loans and people, and we borrow it and they want back and all of that. This is different. This is like a father that loves us so much, that did all he could for us and said, if you'll just come and receive what I have for you, I will hold you, I will comfort you, I will care for you, I will keep you, I will sustain you, I will hold you, I will walk with you, I will bear with you, I will lift you up, I will. I mean, to think about the I will. See, oftentimes we think about the you shouldn'ts. If we just focused on the I will and then fill that in and know that his promises are real, we are a people that are indebted to Christ and should live in a mindset indebted to him. And so this Sunday and next Sunday, preparing us for Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about what it means. And you've got to understand that you don't just grow or become or just pop out of the womb as a thankful people. It's something that has to be ever present on our minds. And then we also have to understand that it's not like being indebted to other things. It's like being indebted to a person and a being that loves you with all that he has. And so I've just got a couple of points today to kind of work through. So you got your Bibles ready? In chapter 16 of Acts, a great book of the Bible, basically the Acts of the beginning of the church. And so if you've got that, if you would please stand, Acts chapter 16. I'm going to kind of start in verse 19, but I'm going to set it up for you because I think this is a beautiful kind of event that happened. And so I want you to get this. Here we've got Paul and Silas. And church, here's the thing. Their eyes and their hearts are focused on the things of God. And so you've got this situation, which is a girl, a young girl who's possessed by a demon. In fact, that young girl was very profitable because the young girl could interpret things and speak into things, right? And Paul and Silas saw this. In fact, the demons within her could see that Christ was living in them. You know, the enemy should be able to see what's living inside of you. The enemy should be afraid. The enemy should be attacking you. You should be experiencing some bad days. And so Paul and Silas identify this young girl and they cast out the demon, and the young girl's free. And then we pick up to what happens to Paul and Silas because they saw a heart, right, that was yearning to be freed. The power that was within them freed that, and here is what happened. These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in at attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them. Isn't that kind of like overboard? Like, I mean, you really have to not like someone when you go and say, ripping, like, who wants to see that anyway? You know what I'm saying? Like, ripping their garments off and saying, can you believe these men? They gave them orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, most of us, this is where we would start complaining. After midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. After midnight, meaning they were just beat, as tradition would have had it, when the sun was coming down. And so not much longer, by the time they got locked up, they began praying and then singing praises to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. Translation, good there is loosed. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, the jailer, trembling with fear, falls at the feet of Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Not what must I do to not, what must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And then it goes on to tell us that not just the jailer, but their families were saved as well. God, we ask right now that you would come in power. And God, I just pray that you come realistically into our hearts today and speak to us in a way that will transform and change our hearts, our state of mind. God, help us to be shifted in a way that shifts us into the direction that you're calling us to be a people that remain thankful and grateful for the great sacrifice that you've made for us, and to live in that. God, we come against the enemy in the name of Jesus today. We cast him out and ask that you would just protect us from him. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. So Pastor Joey, I told them that you really challenged me, and so I'm trying to do a little better with the, you'll see in a minute here, a little better with the slides. I'm trying to take your leading here. So I want you to just think about this for a second. Remaining indebted, okay? And I know, I remember, we're looking at it from one perspective, not another, not the worldly perspective. Okay, it requires us to be grateful going in and going out. Now let me explain this for a second, because I deal with this as a pastor all the time. I deal with people that are going into situations, and it takes everything we can to keep them going through them. And then when they're getting ready to go out, they are just praising and excited, which is very natural for us, right? We get bad news, we journey through that. When we get out of it, we begin to praise the Lord. Now, it's hard for us to say that we'd be willing from this point forward to go in and out of things in the same state, in the same mindset, in a mindset that's never ever changing towards the Lord except growing in intimacy with him. Think about this. Understanding our indebtedness to Christ requires awareness. Now, there's an awareness that Paul and Silas had that's so significant. Now, many of us get this confused. It drives me crazy. It only takes a second to really understand Paul and where he's come from. We get the whole thorn in the side and the flesh thing so confused because we want it to relate to us. It usually doesn't, church, and you've heard me say this a million times. This doesn't. He wasn't talking about sin. He was talking about pre-Christ. Who was Paul pre-Christ? Saul. What did Saul do? He killed Christians. And it was ever present on his mind for the remainder of his days. It kept him focused. It kept him centered. It kept him in a state of remembering who he was compared to who he is. Church, oftentimes we don't want to live in who we were, but we don't want to forget who we were without Christ. So, it takes a lot of self-awareness. And I feel like, let's just be honest, right? If we as a people, and I say this so much, it's like repetitive, if we were more self-aware, right? I think things would be different. And so what do you mean? So Paul and Silas walking down the street, noticing the disruption that this young lady was making. And what's funny is they were noticing the disruption. Now remember, Paul was called later on a what? A disruption. But Paul was recognizing the disruption in the spiritual. They were recognizing the disruption in the physical. And so the kind of self-awareness that I'm talking about today is a spiritual self-awareness. Are you in a state of always understanding that you are a spiritual being? Yes, you're physical, but most of all, you're spiritual. And how does your spiritual continue? It continues by remaining self-aware that without Christ, there's so much you're losing. The I wills. There's so many I wills that Jesus speaks throughout Scripture. We often focus on the things he won't, but he will do so much. And most of the time when he doesn't want to do, it's best for you anyway. And so here, Paul and Silas had a beautiful way of kind of remaining grateful. Well, what do you mean? Well, I'm pretty sure Paul was a wise man. He probably knew, okay, because this girl was so popular, he knew that if he pulled that spirit out and cast it away, that somebody would be upset that what would be taken. Y'all, if I took $100 from your wallet right now, you'd be what? You'd be upset, okay? So it's just natural. He knew it could happen. But he wasn't worried about the physical disruption. He was worried about if God gave him a gift and he didn't use that gift, then he was forgetting the change that the Lord had in him. And the change that could happen in someone else. And so, he looks at the heart and he says, hey, it's time for you to be free. It's time for you to understand that there is more. And the demon is cast out. Well, what do you mean, like, going in and out? Well, he knew going into that there was probably going to be what? Some problems. Have you ever made a spiritual decision that you know if you make this spiritual step, there may be problems? I mean, we deal with all different kinds of people. I was thinking this week of the students that are spiritually advanced and their parents are holding them back. And they're saying, I want to go here. And their parents are saying, let's look at the reality of this. Is there even a future in? And see, how many times do we? So Paul and Silas went into it saying, in their minds, they had to have known, like, it wouldn't have made people happy, that their livelihood, kind of a bad one, would be taken away. So he went into it saying, well, what's more important? Well, what's more important is the heart. And so, going into it, he stuck with being more connected and in debt to Christ than the world. Are you willing coming in and out? See, it's easy to go through a health problem, complain, be upset, and obviously it's easy to do that. I've done it. I think we've all done it. It's easy to have an issue and spend the whole time just hoping for and having a grumpy mindset, and then when we come out, what do? We raise our hands and praise God that we're... But what if we went into it just saying, I'm going to praise you anyway? Because no matter how this comes out, you are still the sustainer. No matter how this comes out, you're still going to get me to a place of intimacy and eternity with you. And I know that's lofty thinking. But I think most of us are beginning to recognize our frailty as human beings. I think COVID did that well. It reminded us that we're frail. A sickness can wash in, and that can be. But you know what? Sickness doesn't define us. None of that. And so Paul and Silas went into it knowing that there was a possibility for problems on the other side, but still went in. Praise God going in, praise God going out. Well, what else do you think? Well, interestingly enough, they went into prison. Now, they weren't just beat. They actually, so there's different levels if you look at the Bible. Y'all ever been spanked before? Come on now, y'all. I hope you have because you needed it. But anyway, this wasn't kind of like, they didn't say like spanking, okay? This was a rod, okay? And rods probably don't feel great, right? Listen, let's just try it. I think in the Catholic school, they just, you know, we can try it when we go out. But anyway, they went in having been humiliated, right? They went in being beat with a rod, something that most of us have never had happen to us, okay? Beat by rods. And then you know what they did? They said, listen, we're so upset with them. Take them to the very innermost parts of the prison so that if there's any attempt on them, it's going to take a lot to get them. So they take them to the darkest. Now remember, they had to get like light bearers, which is significant about prisons, light bearers to actually go into the center of the prison to shine light back there. So we're talking like they went in to darkness in a literal way. They were beat, humiliated, and put into the depths of the prison. And what did they do? They prayed and praised. And then they prayed and they praised. So they prayed going into the trial. They praised going into the trial. And they did the same going out. And so I guess the first thing is, in order for us to understand and remain indebted with a heart that's grateful for Christ, then going into a hard season and coming out, we have to do what? We've got to be willing to pray, praise, and honor the Lord. And so, putting that together. And I want you to think, as we get to this second point. It's significant. Remaining indebted is not undetectable. Church, I think for too long, I'm just going to be honest with you, I hear people, and it's heartbreaking, because they'll say things like, I never thought. I actually sat with a senior adult just recently and said, it's the first time that I've done this, and they said this particular thing, and I was shocked. I was so surprised. I thought, gosh, like, I'm not elevating myself, but like, that's just part of my everyday. And they went on to say, well, you know, my job always said we had to be careful. Is your job going to say be careful when you with Jesus? And are they going to say be careful going in and out of season? Are they going to be the ones that... Now, I think many of you could probably think of moments, or some of you, where you stood up for Christ in the midst of, and you weren't silent, and it didn't work out. Some of you probably weren't silent, and it did work out. But you know who's on the other side of things? No matter what, is Jesus. And so what's interesting about this event in particular, and actually, I mean, Paul, he was very rarely silent, and so in just in general, he wasn't silent. He wasn't undetectable. He wasn't unnoticed. They were not a silent people. They had a mission, and the mission had to do with hearts, and they saw hearts that weren't connected, and so they just went after it, and they weren't silent. See, here's the thing, church. If you really believe that God has done a work in your heart, then I'm pretty sure it'd be hard for you to be silent. I think it's easy for us to be silent when we make our walk with the Lord a religious act or a religious encounter, or we make it some type of ritual. In fact, there's a lot of trends right now in younger generations to be very ritualistic in our faith, to get back to some of those things that are visibly done so that we can be done with it and then continue on with the rest of our, and that's just my assumption. But a lot of times when I sit down with these young pastors that are kind of thinking in that mindset, not many, but there is kind of a trend in this way. Well, when did you sit down and do? Why didn't you? Do you think you should wear? What about? What if they? And a lot of those conversations I end with saying, where's the heart in all this? Well, in every part of it. And a lot of crowds would argue with me after this. But you know what? Ritual was all about the Old Testament. You know where that got the Old Testament? To Jesus. Let's just be real. If you've ever been in Sunday school or in a small group or studied or read your word, it was just back and forth. The rituals didn't do it unless the heart was changed. And so if your heart's really changed and you sense that Christ has done a work that you know nothing else could do, if you've ever been changed in such a way that, like, you know the only way that change is possible is because of Christ, then it should be hard for you to be quiet. And if you're quiet, maybe that's just your personality and that's okay. But maybe God's saying, hey, I need you to be a little bit more noticeable. When you feel that nudge in your workplace, when you feel that push and that, maybe you're the one that's supposed to speak. I'm pretty sure Paul and Silas thought, you know, I mean, if we say something and do something, something's going to happen. But it didn't stop them. And then interestingly enough, it didn't stop them enough that things just kept happening. Here's what I love about the work of the Lord. You can try to silence it, but if God wants it spoken, it's just going to continue. In fact, many people didn't think we would end up in this room. A lot of people said, you know, it's going to take years, Pastor, for this to ramp up. You know, I mean, I'm sure you'll have a couple of people come through here and there during the week. A couple of people is what's happening in 10 minutes. And I didn't know. In fact, didn't I start to say, well, it may take us a couple of years. Now, in the beginning, I believed, didn't I? And then as it went on, when you just get beat down and beat down and beat down, second service will never. Monday, you mean people will come on Monday? Just don't be prepared, Pastor. I mean, how many people sent the emails and said, now just be prepared, we don't want you to be disappointed. I don't know that Jesus has ever disappointed me, but I started to believe that he should. And now I'm saying, well, why did I ever believe that he should when he said, like, and see, it's when we get to a place where we have a lack of vocality. That's not a word, but I want to make it up. So think about a couple of things here before we head to the last point here. What would have happened if going into the jail, Paul and Silas said, I mean, here I am. Jesus told us to be vocal. He told us we could cast out demons. We did just that, and here we are in the depths of the... I can't even see you. I don't even know where you're talking. It's so dark in here. I mean, why am I here? I was actually doing what I was supposed to do. Now, did he do any of that? They didn't do any of it. You know what they started doing? They started praying and praising as they went in. And then all of a sudden, okay... Then all of a sudden, it began to what? Spread. See, remaining indebted can only be maintained when our sense of entitlement ends. So think about this for a second. Had they kept the attitude of, why in the world does God have me here today? I did what he said, and this is what he gave me. And you know what? I think all of us that have journeyed a little bit, including myself, have said that. Right? Why in the world, God? I was just listening to you. I'm actually fine just playing with my kids. I really didn't want this extra headache. I actually like just being home and playing with my kids. And then I can't tell you the rebuke in my heart for the times that I've said that to myself. And you know what it boiled down to? Entitlement. Entitlement. Well, God, I mean, if you called me to this, then I should. You know, an entitlement mindset is dangerous. I've watched people do erratic things because they felt entitled to something that they really weren't entitled to. And so what if Paul and Silas said, well, we're entitled to an easy life because we did what you said, Jesus? Many of us, right, we deal with people that have entitlement mentalities where you're supposed to because. In fact, I deal with some families where it's like the kids are saying to the parents, well, because you birthed me, you should. I'm like, what? I mean, you're 16. Wake up. You know, you're about to, like, I'm about to say goodbye. You know what I'm saying? Like, but we're birthing that and we're cultivating that. It comes from somewhere, like we said, it grows. And see, the problem with entitlement is that it takes us to dark places. It produces feelings of insecurity. See, oftentimes we feel entitled, but it's actually out of insecurity. And then we think entitlement also gives us feelings of superiority, meaning you shouldn't and I should. Well, you gave him and I. We have it in our family. We have a large range of ages. And so we often have to say to our younger ones, no, she's 12, like 7 years older than you, when you... Now, most homes that don't have a strong Italian, you know what I'm saying, they would eventually say, well, we'll just give in. So for you, it was 12. For you, it'll be 10. For you, it'll be 7. I'm sorry. In my house, guess what it's going to be? 12. Sorry. You picked the wrong house. You didn't pick it. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, but what we do is, as people present entitlement to us, we bend the rules. And then we bend the... Entitlement produces feelings of self-promotion. Paul could have said, "Now, Lord, you know who I am. I've been changing the world for you," because he really was. By this time, the world was being changed through the word and message of Paul. Look at your Bible. Look in the New Testament. You know how much is from Paul? A good portion of it. A good portion of we learn, teach, read, preach, write Sunday school teachers is all about Paul, because he was the man. And you know what? I can't wait to meet him, and I hope I get to. I don't feel guaranteed for that, but hey, I hope one day I get to meet him. And so he could have said, "Now, Lord, I've been doing all this, and you mean to tell me you're going to put me in the depths of a prison after all I did was free someone from the bounds?" But he didn't. You know what he did? He just went in and kept on doing what he normally does, which is praying and praising. Praying and praising. Praying and praising. Okay, you ready for this? Y'all still awake? All right, we got 2 minutes left. I want you to do something in your minds. I want you to picture this. You got Paul and Silas. I mean, this is very relatable to today, okay? You got Paul and Silas. This lady, she's freed. She's a brand new person. People don't like that. You know, they don't like when you get freed. You know that, right? Because the enemy doesn't like when you're freed. So when you get freed, don't expect everybody in the world, when you tell them, to get all excited, because they're not. They're going to say, "Wait a minute, you got freed and I didn't." That's just the world, okay? But in here, when you get freed, you know what we're going to do? We're going to celebrate. And if the church hasn't done that in the past, we're going to do it from here out. And so, they know it's right. They did it. They went in knowing that there could be possible problems, but they didn't care. Then they get into the prison. They never complained. They didn't feel entitled. Like, "I'm Paul." I mean, you know how many books are written even today by theologians on Paul? I mean, they're all over the place. Who do we go see? What's his name? I forget. And Olivet was... Gosh, it doesn't matter. Anyway, he's a great theologian. I have the book in my office, read it. It was great. I was shocked. I'll never be Paul. But anyway, you know, just a reminder of how much we don't match up. But okay, you got Paul sent into the depths of the prison in the darkest place where they have to call light bearers to bring light, which meant they had to bring enough light to get some light on the subject. But they prayed and they praised. You know what happened? It said that everyone in the prison, chains were loose. Now you say, "Well, that's exciting, right?" It was bigger than that. You know, when you translate it, their chain, it wasn't even talking about the chains. You know what it was talking about? Those people were loosed, meaning the things that bound them in that prison, the things that bound their mind, the things that bound their heart, the things that got them in the condition they were in were loosed through prayer and praise. Not a good preacher. The whole prison. In a place where I would say at that time, because the same evils existed then as do now, there was every kind of evil, every kind of people, and the entire prison. Now you want a little more theology? It was at the center of the prison. And so the heart of the Lord entered the center of darkness and prayed and praised in darkness, and all of a sudden... Whew. Come on now, church. So when you walk into your workplace, in the very center of your workplace. So then it didn't end there. Now here's the great part of this. This isn't like you got to get prisons nowadays out of your mind. In the day then, had you gotten loose, they didn't go chase you. Now they did if you were, but as a general rule, you know what they did first? They went to the guard. And they executed them. And so the guard was going to get in trouble. What's crazy is nobody left. Now I'm pretty sure, right, if we got freed, we wouldn't get out, right? Well, they didn't. They didn't leave. He said, "Put the light on and get your light bearers." And he falls to their feet. Now, normally they'd do what? They'd come in. Speared up. Speared up. They wouldn't have gunned up. But anyway, speared up, right? Come in there and said, "Put your shackles back on. Let's get things back under control." But nothing was out of control. Instead, the light came and they fell. Come on now. From here to here And then it came in, and it couldn't help but be changed either. By the time it got to the center, you know what the guards did? They fell at their feet and said, "How can I be saved?" And most people read that and say, he was talking about like from the... No, it was strictly spiritual. He had actually come into the presence of God. And I believe as he got towards and moved towards Paul and Silas, you know what happened? His heart was changing, his heart was changing. And by the time he got to Paul and Silas, all he did was fall. He just fell. And it had nothing to do with the fear of being killed. Some kind of reality came over him. And he fell down and said, "How can I be saved?" As in saved, not as in saved from the... And he was saved. It gets better. It went from here, poof, then here, poof. Then all of a sudden, Paul said something even greater. He said, "Now your whole household will be saved." If we were in a good church, they'd be hooting and hollering. In a place more like I grew up. But anyway, I mean, come on now. And do you know what it took? You know what it took? It took an indebted heart that recognized the thorn in his flesh of who he used to be and who he never wants to be again. And so in and out of season, he just stood for Christ. And you know what, church? In and out of season, he's calling us to stand and always remember to be indebted to that which he did for you. So, I guess today, Dan, are you here still? Yeah, you're right there. You want to just play? You mind? I mean, do you feel like maybe today the Lord is saying, "Hey, can I remove some entitlement and bring in some humility? Can I remove some, like, don't look at the situation, look at me? Can I remove some fear that if you say something at work, you just say it and be okay with it because you're doing it out of love, grace, and mercy, with the desire to see peace come? Can I remove that fear?" I really believe Jesus is saying that. Can I remove that fear? Because church, this is the side that we live on. We don't live on the Old Testament side. We live on the New Testament side that says we can. So Paul went into it and said, "We can." Do we go into it saying we can? Do you know when we do go into it saying we can? Is when we remain humble before the throne of Jesus. And I'm your pastor, and I'll admit before my wife that there are times at night where I go to her and say, "I'm just not living it. This isn't what Christ expects of me." See, Christ expects me to always be thinking about that lamb without blemish that took on a whole lot of blemish for me so that I wouldn't have to. And he did it for you. What if we forget? You know that American Education Services does not let me forget. You know what they do each month? Even though I sign up for paperless, guess what they send me? A paper and an email. Isn't that great? You get both. Just I don't know what they're trying to save paper, but aren't we still getting it? I keep trying, but you know, they just make you sign up for that so you get the email and the getting their money. You know what I'm saying? But man, the Lord doesn't do that. He just says, "I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And if you'll take me with you, I'll go in there with you. And if you'll hold on to me, if you'll keep me, I'm just going to go with you." And man, to think about the creator of the world saying to us, "I'll go with you." Don't you think you should just live a little bit indebted to him? Don't you think, if you think about who you are and who you used to be, that maybe you should just submit? Forget what you think about church from the past or religion. This isn't about religion. Paul wasn't walking around saying, religion, religion, religion. No, he was saying freedom, peace, wholeness, love, mercy, grace. You don't want to live. Let's get that demon out. And that's what he's still saying today. So there's an altar here, in a sense, the stairs, your seat. Maybe it's time. Even just to pour out your heart in thanksgiving. Because if you come to your Thanksgiving table this year and it's all about people, places, things, trips, experiences, and Jesus isn't mentioned, Jesus should be first. Man, the strength that I have to overcome is only because of him. So maybe today you need to come to the altar because you have a hard time when going into things, still lifting your hands in worship and praise. Maybe you feel like you are entitled to some things. You know what's crazy? Is if you live in humility, he is a giver. He's gracious. In fact, he's gifted this church, if we could open our eyes a little bit, he's gifted us with so much to gift to others. So people come and say, you know what, I'm going to trust what you said, Pastor, but I'm in need in this area. We can say, okay, we're going to do all we can. And so maybe he wants to just push that wall down a little bit. And maybe you don't believe it, but then when you live in a lifestyle of being indebted to Christ, you could be the person in the middle of the darkest part of the prison and be the one that starts the dominoes. I see many of you, well, I can't be me because you don't know me. You don't know where I've been, what I've been through. Does it matter? We ain't in old church. That stuff doesn't matter. Today matters. And how you step out of here today matters. And so why don't you just bow your heads? And just ask, maybe the Lord is just saying, hey, it's time to respond. I want you to see that I did this for you. That I thought of you. That I have plans for you. Maybe he's saying today, yeah, I can see that it's hard for you. I can see that what you're going through is hard. But I'm there with you in that prison. And I'm going to be with you going in and going out. And then going on. And so maybe the Lord is saying today, respond. Maybe you're home today and the Lord is saying, respond. God, today, I mean, I just have to admit, I'm not always living in this state. I think our self battles this state all the time. You can take us from the place we're at now to a new place, a place that keeps us ever present, and understanding how tremendously grateful we need to be. Because the wholeness that you bring is really unlike anything else. I just think about the wholeness that you brought to the girl. And then you brought them into this prison after being beaten, and all of a sudden, the wholeness that they had could not help but bleed over. And then it just bled over and over and over and over to where the scriptures, which I believe do not lie, tells us that the entire prison was loosed of their sins. So much so that they didn't even have a desire to run. They had a desire to just stay. Because there was a work happening. And then I just imagine all these prisoners standing around as the guards fell, and them loving on them. And then the excitement that had to have happened as the soldiers realized their families became whole as well. Just in that, it's a tremendous reminder how we should just be in a state of gratefulness. Because when we're in that kind of state, God, you know what you can do beyond today. What you can do as we go home, what you can do as we go to work, what you can do as we encounter, what we can do, and I just don't know. I just can't imagine if, I guess I can imagine. But I guess the hardest mindset is that if we went to work and thought, okay, I'm more indebted to Christ and what he's done for me than this place. And so if I had to stand up or speak or talk about Christ, then I'm going to take that risk because maybe it's in a home where Christ isn't at the head. And we have to sometimes, in love, Paul didn't run in there and yelling and hollering. He went in there in prayer and praise. And so as we pray and praise, maybe we can see some things change. So Lord, I just, let us remember the sacrifice. Let us remain thankful. Let us know that being indebted to you is not like being indebted to anything else. And so today, help us, guide us, deal with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. You are all a tremendous blessing. We'll see you later. Have a great afternoon.